21. After a pause, Lilo said starkly,
You realize what this means. Now they can go directly to him, whoever draws that ghastly, gutterish comic. They don't need us, Lars. Not ever again.
Major Gashenko murmured with caustic but high-born politeness,
Go to him for what, Miss Topchev? What do you think he has? You think he's held anything back?
There's no more, Lars said. The man's in business, writing a comic strip. His inventions have been completely spurious all along.
But all along,
Major Gashenko pointed out in his urbane, mild, devastatingly insulting way,
this was exactly proper for the need. Now that is no longer true. The blue cephalopod man cannot fly through space and knock the alien satellites down with his fist. We are not able to call on him. He will not show up. A satire on ourselves has duped us for years. The artist will be amused. Obviously, he is a degenerate.
That vulgar strip, and I notice it is English language, the official language of West Bloc, shows that. Lars said,
Don't blame him if telepathically, in some crazy goddamn way, we've been picking up his ideas.
Lilo said,
They won't blame him. They'll just shake him down. They'll pick him up and bring him to the Soviet Union, to the Pavlov Institute. Try with all they have available to get out of him what they haven't got out of us. Just in case it might be there.
She added,
I'm glad I'm not him.
She seemed, in fact, relieved now, because, as she understood the situation, the pressure was off her, and to her, in her immaturity, that was what mattered.
If you're so glad, Lars said to her, at least don't show it. Try to keep it to yourself.
I'm beginning to think, Lilo said, that it's exactly what they deserve.
She giggled.
It's really funny. I'm sorry for that artist in southern Ghana, but can't you laugh, Lars?
No.
Then you're as crazy as him.
She gestured in Major Gashenko's direction, contemptuously, with a new spirited superiority.
Can I make a vidphone call? Lars asked Major Gashenko.
I suppose.
Gashenko again beckoned to an aide, spoke to him in Russian. Lars found himself being escorted down a hallway to a public vidphone booth. He dialed Lanferman Associates in San Francisco and asked for Pete Fried. Pete looked overworked and not in the mood for receiving calls. Seeing who it was, he gave forth a meager gesture of salutation.
Well, what's she like?
She's young, Lars said.
Physically attractive.
I would say sexy.
Then your problems are over.
No, Lars said. Oddly, my problems aren't over. I have a job I want you to do. Bill me for it. If you can't do it yourself or won't do it,
don't make a speech. Just say what it is.
Lars said,
I want every back issue of The Blue Cephalopod Man from Titan rounded up. A complete file from issue number 1, volume 1. He added,
It's a 3D comic book. You know, the lurid kind that wiggles when you look at it. I mean, the girls wiggle, breasts, pelvic area, all there is to wiggle. The monsters salivate.
Okay.
Pete scratched himself a memo.
The Blue Cephalopod Man from Titan. I've seen it, although it's not made for North America. My kids seem to get hold of it anyhow. It's one of the worst. But it's not illegal, not outright pornographic. Like you say, the girls wiggle, but at least they don't.
Go over every issue, Lars said, with your best engineers, thoroughly. List every weapons item employed in all the sequences. Check out which are ours and peep east's. Draw up accurate specs, anyhow as accurate as you can, based on the data given in the comic book sequences.
Okay, Pete nodded.
Well, go ahead.
Make a third list of all weapons items that are not ours and are not Peep East's. In other words, unknown to us.
Maybe there won't be any, but maybe there will. Have them, if possible, made into accurate specs. I want mock-ups and... Did you and Lilo come up with anything? Yes. Good. It's called a steam engine, donkey type. Pete regarded him. Seriously. Seriously. They'll massacre you. I know that, Lars said. Can you get away, back to Westblock? I can try. I can run. But there's other things that are more important at this moment. Now listen, job number two, which you will actually do first, contact Koch. Right. Jot, jot. Have them investigate all persons responsible for preparing, drawing, making up the dummies, writing the script ideas. In other words, go into the human sources of all the material in the comic book The Blue Cephalopod Man from Titan. Will do. Pete scratched away. Urgently. Urgently. Pete wrote that. And report to whom? If I'm back in Westblock, to me. If not, then to you. Next job. Shoot, Mr. God, sir. Vidphone on an emergency line the SF branch of the FBI. Tell them to instruct their team here in the field at Fairfax, Iceland to... And he stopped, because the screen had gone blank. The set was dead. Somewhere along the line of the Soviet, secret police who had been monitoring the call had pulled the plug. It was astonishing that they hadn't done so sooner. He left the booth, stood pondering. Down the corridor waited two KVB men. No other way out. Yet somewhere in Fairfax, the FBI had holed itself up. If he somehow got to them, he might be able to... But they had orders to cooperate with the KVB. They would simply turn him back over to Major Gashenko. It's still that wonderful world, he thought, in which everyone cooperates, unless you happen to be the sole person who has ceased to cooperate and who would like to get out, because there is no longer an out. All the roads lead back here. He might as well eliminate the middlemen and deal directly with Major Gashenko. So, reluctantly, he returned to the motel room. At the table, Gashenko, Dr. Tote, and Lilo Topchev still sat, drinking coffee and reading the homeopape. This time they were conversing in German. Multilingual bastards, Lars said to himself as he sat down. Wie geht's? Dr. Tote asked him.
Traurig, Lilo said. Können Sie nicht sehen? What happened, Lars? Did you phone up General Nitz and ask him to please take you home? And he said no? And don't bother me because you're now under the jurisdiction of the KVB, even though Iceland is supposedly neutral ground, nicht wahr?
To Major Gashenko, Lars said, Major, I am officially asking permission to discuss my situation alone with a rep from the United States Police Agency, the FBI. Will you grant that?
Easily managed,
Gashenko said. A KVB man, abruptly entering the room, surprised all of them, Gashenko included. He approached the major, presenting him with a typed, not a Xeroxed, document. Thank you, Gashenko said, and silently read the document. Then he lifted his head to confront Lars.
I think your idea is a good one, to sequester all the back issues of the Blue Cephalopod Man from Titan and to have Koch run a thorough analysis on the strip's creators. We, of course, are already doing both ourselves, but there's no reason why your people can't duplicate it. However, to save time, and time, I should remind you, is in this case essential, I advance very respectfully the idea that you ask your business associates in San Francisco, whom you just now conversed with, to notify us of any usable material which they might uncover. After all, it is an American city that has been the first object of attack.
Lars said, If I can speak to an FBI man, yes. If not, no.
I told you already that it was easy to arrange.
Gashenko addressed his aide again in Russian. Lilo said,
He's telling him to go out, stay 5 minutes, return, and say in English
that the FBI entourage here at Fairfax can't be located.
Glancing at her, Major Gashenko said irritably,
In addition to all else, you could be arraigned under Soviet law for interfering with security operations. It would be a charge of treason, punishable by death before a firing squad. So why don't you for once in your life shut up?
He looked genuinely angry. He had lost his poise, and his face was dark red.
Lilo murmured, Sie können Sowjetgericht und Steck.
Interrupting, Dr. Tote said firmly,
My patient, Mr. Powderdry, seems under great stress, due especially to this last interchange. Would you object, Major, if I gave him a tranquilizer?
Go ahead, doctor,
Gashenko said grouchily. He waved curtly, dismissing his aide, without having re-instructed him, Lars observed. From his black medical bag, Dr. Tote brought several bottles, a flat tin, a number of folders of free samples of the sort distributed by the large ethical pharmaceutical houses in incredible numbers all over the world, new drugs as yet untested and not on the market. He had, wearisomely, always been interested in the latest in medications. Mumbling, calculating to himself, Tote sorted among them, lost in his own idiosyncratic universe. Again, an aide brought Gashenko a document. He studied it silently, then said,
I have preliminary information on the artist who is the creator of the Blue Man abomination. Would you care to hear it?
Yes, Lars said.
I couldn't care less, Lilo said.
Dr. Tote continued to root about in his overfilled black medical bag. Reading from the document presented him, Major Gashenko summarized for Lars' benefit the info which the Soviet intelligence apparatus, acting at top speed, had assembled.
The artist is named Oro Giacomini, a Caucasian of Italian origin who migrated to Ghana 10 years ago. He is in and out of a mental institution in Calcutta, and not a reputable one at that. Without electroshock and thalamic suppressors, he would be in a complete autistic schizophrenic withdrawal.
Jeez, Lars said.
Further, he is an ex-inventor. For instance, his evolution rifle. He actually built one about 12 years ago, had it patented in Italy, probably for use against the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Gashenko set down the document on the table. Coffee stained it at once, but he did not seem to give a good goddamn, Lars noticed. The Major was as disgusted as he himself.
Oro Giacomini's ideas, as analyzed by the second-rate psychiatrists at Calcutta, consist of worthless, grandiose, schizophrenic delusions of world power. And this is the lunatic non-entity whose mentality you...
He shook his fist futilely at Lars and Lilo.
Have seen fit to tap as the inspiration for your weapons!
Well, Lars said presently, that's the weapons fashion designing biz. Dr. Tote closed his medical bag at last and sat regarding them. You have my tranquilizer? Lars asked. Dr. Tote had something in his hands, resting on his lap out of sight.
I have here, Dr. Tote said, a laser pistol.
He displayed it, pointing it at Major Gashenko.
I knew I had it somewhere in my bag, but it was under everything else. You are under arrest, Major, for holding a West Bloc citizen captive against his will.
From his lap, he produced a second object, a minute audio communication system, complete with microphone, earphone, and antenna. Snapping it on, he spoke into the flea-sized mic.
Mr. Connors, J.F. Connors, please,
he explained for the benefit of Lars, Lilo, and Major Gashenko.
Connors is in charge of FBI operations here at Fairfax. Mr. J.F. Connors, yes, we are at the motel, yes, apartment 6, where they first brought us. Evidently, they plan to transport Mr. Powderdry to the Soviet Union when they return Miss Topchev, and are awaiting transport connections at this moment. There are KGB agents all over, so... Well, okay, thanks. Yes, and thank you again.
He shut off the communication system and restored it to his medical bag. They sat inertly, saying nothing, and then presently outside the door of the motel room, there was a flurry of sharp, abrupt noise. Grunts, labored and muffled thumps, a voiceless catfight of confusion that lasted several minutes. Major Gashenko looked philosophical, but not very happy. Lilo, on the other hand, seemed petrified. She sat bolt upright, her face dark. The door snapped spring-like open. An FBI man, one of those who had brought Lars to Iceland, peered in, laser pistol sweeping potentially everything in the room with its ability to include them all as targets. However, he did not fire, but merely entered, followed by a second FBI man, who had somehow, in what had happened, lost his tie. Major Gashenko rose to his feet, unbuttoned his holster, silently turned over his sidearm to the FBI men.
"We'll go back to New York now," the first man said to Lars.
Major Gashenko shrugged. Marcus Aurelius could not have achieved more stoic resignation. As Dr. Tote and Lars moved toward the door with the two FBI men, Lilo Topchev suddenly said,
"Lars, I want to come along."
The two FBI men exchanged glances. Then one spoke into his lapel mic, conversed inaudibly with an unseen superior. All at once, he said brusquely to Lilo,
"They say okay."
"You may not like it there," Lars said. "Remember, dear, we're both out of favor."
"I still want to come," Lilo said.
"Okay," Lars said, and thought of Marin.